always is again for the necessity to be in here and not in the sanctuary. Trouble again with the heating system. Some people want to blame Bobby Bendel for that, but he assures me that it's not got to do with him. In fact, on the contrary, he's doing his best to put things to rights, and they will be put to rights very soon, I'm sure. So we open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 53. Oh, greatly blessed the people are. 53. To the Lord for all his benefits toward us, we will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We will pay our vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse our inmost thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily praise your holy name. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We are truly sorry and we seek to turn humbly from our sins. We pray you, Lord, to grant us your free forgiveness and set us right again. Fit us for your service and inspire us by your Holy Spirit so that we may give you unstintingly of our best. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. 124. We read God's word in the New Testament, the letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, at verse 1. Galatians, chapter 1, at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, at verse 1. Luke chapter 7, at verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. For I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. And the Lord blessed to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 458, At the Name of Jesus, 458.
With love strong as death,
Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, at verse 9, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. The first 10 verses of this chapter 7 in Luke's Gospel, just 10 verses, relate an episode which tells us a great deal. The main character in these verses is a Roman centurion, and the verses tell us a number of things about him. But as we study the passage and think about it, we find that it also tells us a few things about life. I was never in the army or any of the armed forces, so I have no first-hand knowledge of that well-known characteristic figure in the army, the regimental sergeant major. The regimental sergeant major, we may say, roughly corresponds to the centurion in the Roman army of the first century. Loud sounding, exercising authority, having only a limited authority, but very enthusiastic in exercising it. Maybe even if we've not had the experience of regimental sergeant majors in the army, maybe we've encountered their equivalent in civilian life. Some teachers, some officials, people we meet in various walks of life, like to parade their limited authority and make people aware of it. But it seems that this centurion was not your typical regimental sergeant major. Oh yes, he was a centurion. He held that post in the Roman army in the early years of the Roman Empire. A centurion was expected to be able to command, steady in action, reliable, not desperate to rush into fighting, and yet ready to hold his ground, and if necessary, to die at his post. We can take it that this centurion, since he had been appointed to such a post in a province of the Roman Empire, this centurion was considered by his superiors to hold these qualifications. Every centurion had to measure up to those criteria before he would be appointed or promoted to such a post. Thus far, then, we can say that this centurion was like all the others. But there were several aspects in which he was different, things about him which made him stand out from the rest. He gets a mention in Luke's Gospel, first of all, because of the illness of his servant. And right away we notice his attitude to the servant in question. The servant would be a slave, captured, no doubt, when the Roman army entered his native town and brought with them when they moved on from there. A slave was treated as a piece of property, not regarded as a person at all. There's a word in Latin literature, a word of advice to the farmer. Check your implements. Check your farm implements once a year. Throw out the ones which have become old and no longer fit for service, and do the same with your slaves. But this centurion had a totally different way of treating his slave. He treated him as a human being. When the slave was ill, the centurion cared about him, cared enough to ask Jesus to help him, to heal him. Right away then, we begin to see this centurion in a different light, not at all like the normal run of Roman centurion. He asked some of the Hebrew people to approach Jesus on his behalf. And in their approach to Jesus, we get a little further insight into the character of this centurion. They pleaded with Jesus to help the man, saying he loved their nation and he had built them a synagogue. If the centurion was a Roman, it's unlikely that he was a Christian, at least as yet. But he evidently appreciated the importance of the synagogue to the local community. He was a man with religious awareness. The story doesn't tell us how long the centurion had been serving in this particular province, but however long or short a time it was, he'd adopted an attitude towards the Jewish people which was entirely at odds with the customary Roman attitude. The Jews hated the Romans because they saw them as foreign overlords. The Romans were currently the ones who were preventing the Jews from enjoying sovereignty in their own country, for which they had always hankered. At the same time, the Romans detested the Jews because they were a nuisance and a menace. So mutual hatred was the order of the day. But this centurion didn't subscribe to that. He practiced a friendliness towards the Jews, a friendliness which manifested itself in practical ways, so that the Jews felt quite amenable to the thought of approaching Jesus for him when the servant was ill, and putting in a good word for him with Jesus. Something else we notice about this man is that he was humble. He didn't assert himself, as many of the Romans would have done when dealing with the subject Jewish people. He didn't exert his authority, as many of the soldiers in the occupying army might have done. He had known the Jewish community long enough to understand some of their rules, especially where contact with non-Jews was concerned. He knew, for instance, that a Jew would not enter the house of a Gentile, nor have a Gentile enter his house. So he did not presume to go to Jesus. Instead, he went to his friends, some of his Jewish friends, and he asked them to approach Jesus for him. It was a humble approach. It was the approach of a man who did not think himself superior. He didn't make his approach in an imperious, demanding sort of way. A humble approach by a humble man. Even when Jesus was on the way to his house to attend to the servant, the centurion sent messengers to tell Jesus not to trouble to come to the house. "I'm not worthy," he said, "not worthy that you should enter my house, but if you just say the word, my servant will be healed." And of course, this shows not only the humble position which the man took in the presence of Jesus, it also shows how he used faith. He reasoned from his position in the army. "I have this position," he thought. "I'm under orders from my superiors, those who are above me in rank. By the same token, I'm in a position to give orders to those who are below me in rank. I tell them what to do and they do it." That's how it works in the army. And in the same way, it will work with Jesus when he gives orders to the illnesses and disabilities from which people suffer. "Just say the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus was impressed by this demonstration of the use of faith. "I have not seen such faith," he said, "even in Israel." Where he might have expected to see faith being used, in the people of God, the people who had a history of trust in God, there more than anywhere one would have expected to see evidence of the use of faith. But no, Jesus had not seen such an impressive display of faith amongst his own Israelite people as he saw from this Roman centurion. So indeed, the man's servant was healed. And so a servant who was in all probability no more than a slave, and whose name was not important enough to be recorded. This servant is preserved forever in the literature of the Bible. And this Roman soldier, whose name we don't know either, is likewise remembered because of the incident and because of his attitude to the people of the local community and because of the way he used faith. It was this faith which impressed Jesus, and clearly that's what Jesus requires of his followers, that they exercise faith, go through life on that principle, trusting in God, believing that the power is there, the power to help them in whatever crisis they may have to face. So we say to ourselves, but what if we don't have faith? What if we don't have enough faith? What if the faith we once had seems to have disappeared? Our mistake is in thinking of faith as a possession, something we can have a lot of or only a little of, something we can lose or use up so that there's none of it left, like money or petrol or milk or some commodity which we have to replenish from time to time. Faith is basically trust. Trust in God. Trust in the power of God in Jesus Christ. Power to help in whatever way help is needed. So it's not really a possession at all. It's an activity, a way of working which we are invited to enter into. So if we feel we are short of faith, we ask God for his help. We ask him to enable us to trust, and God will not let us down. It's worthwhile to think again about the purpose for which the centurion was using his faith. It was so that Jesus might heal his ailing servant. His servant was a slave, and he could easily have got another one to replace him. In the context of Roman army life, he had no need to care what happened to this or any particular servant, but he did care. The servant, whoever he was and wherever he had originally come from, the servant was important to this centurion. And there is the lesson for us all. There's the message from the 10 verses which Luke spends on relating the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. Care about people, treating them as people, not things or numbers or cases, and using faith, which is always and everywhere available to us. As we go from our church today, we will be going into the life of ordinary days in which we'll meet situations which make demands of us. Demands on our consideration for other people, whoever they are. Demands on our use of faith to see us through. May God help us then continually to show that consideration for people and regularly and consistently to use the faith which he makes available. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your goodness, and we ask you now to accept and bless our material offerings. Let them be used wisely and well in the service of your church and kingdom. Help us likewise to dedicate to you our whole selves for your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn number 622, We Sing a Love, 622. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The table of our Lord Jesus Christ is open to all who are in communion with the Church Universal. We therefore invite members of any branch of it who love the Lord Jesus sincerely to join with us in this holy fellowship. Friends in the Lord, let us come near to the holy table and hear the gracious words which Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let us pray. Almighty God, we are astonished that by the sacrifice and death of Jesus, you have opened a new way, a living way, for us to approach you, the Supreme God. Help us to put our trust in you, to commit ourselves to your love and power, and so to share with Jesus in his immortal sacrifice. Out of the fullness of your own gifts, O God, we offer you this bread and this cup. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. Friends in the Lord, let us listen again to those words now so familiar, the words in which Jesus instituted the sacrament which we observe today, as they are passed on to us by Paul. "The teaching I gave you was given me personally by the Lord himself, and it was this. The Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. This can only mean that whenever you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you are proclaiming that the Lord has died for you, and you will do that until he comes again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use, this mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and present to him our prayers and thanksgivings. Let us pray. O Lord our God, at all times and in all places we ought to thank you. God who created heaven and earth and all that is created. God who sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. Blessed be the hour in which Jesus was born and the hour in which he died. Blessed be the dawn of his rising again and the high day of his ascending. We thank you that Jesus is the light and guide of those who put their trust in you. Blessed be the Spirit, the giver of life, enabling us to live and work and worship effectively. We remember the work of Jesus. We remember his sacrifice for us. And so we make this memorial as he has commanded. Bless your gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the communion of his body and blood, that we may receive them and be spiritually nourished and grow in grace. Accept our service, Lord. Accept us as in fellowship with all the faithful in heaven and on earth. We ask you to fulfill in us and in all mankind the purpose of your redeeming love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. According to the holy example, institution, and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for a memorial of him, we do this, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the love which brings us food from heaven, the life of your dear Son, and assures us that we belong to the company of all his faithful people in heaven and on earth. Grant that we may be strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and continue his work in the world until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. A couple of things to say, friends, as well as what may be on the leaflet today. Intimation is hereby given that the proposed electoral register of this congregation has now been prepared, and that an opportunity of inspecting it will be given today in the session room at the close of the service. Any questions regarding entries in the register should be brought to the notice of the session clerk. So that's in the session room. After the service, you can see the electoral register. The World Day of Prayer takes place this week, Friday of this week, the 6th of March. The service is at 2 o'clock, and this year it is to be held in our dear church. So World Day of Prayer, Friday this week, 2 o'clock in our dear church. Our closing hymn this service is 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, 462. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Thank you.
Thank you.